You are the principal English horn of the St. Louis Symphony. You have a brand new Christmas album out. It's called Cor Christmas, C-O-R, referring to the word for the horn, the cor anglais.
Right.
And it's a wonderful collection of music that you've got here. I want to talk about it, but there are not that many albums out that have the English horn front and center, are they?
Well, usually they would be collections of concertos, more traditional classical music.
Yeah.
There's certainly a number of albums, you know, that colleagues in different orchestras have made that feature the instrument in a more traditional classical way. Not too many, but there are a few. Mine's a little bit different from anything that I know about.
Yeah, well, people are always looking for, a new take on Christmas classics.
Right.
And this album has carved out a nice niche. It's sort of, you know, somewhat classical, somewhat jazzy. You've got a little tango going on there as well.
Right.
There's such variety on this disc.
Thank you.
And lovingly performed, wonderfully recorded. I wonder if you can tell us about the genesis of this album. I know you were thinking about it for a long time.
Yes, I had thought about doing a solo English horn Christmas album as long ago as my time in the Buffalo Philharmonic. Before I joined the St. Louis Symphony in 2006, I was the English horn player with the wonderful Buffalo Philharmonic, and we always did the Christmas pop shows with Marvin Hamlisch. And Marvin loved the English horn and, you know, used to have some solos for me at Christmas time. Very often, sometimes, stand up, let's put a light on you. And I thought it really works nicely, some of these melodies with the English horn. It was as long ago as, you know, having that experience that I thought maybe I could do something really lovely featuring the English horn with carols. But that was just an early thought. I mean, certainly the idea to do something a little bit more fresh with all of these different ensembles backing me up, different types of arrangements, and how involved and detailed the arrangements are. That idea happened much, much later, and I would have to say around 2016 when, with my group Cortango, we were performing a number of holiday shows, and that was when I had the first arrangements done that are on the album now. I think White Christmas was the very first one that Adam Manis made for the group, and I thought, okay, well, let's just take it from there. And I started to consider the different carols that I'd like to include and think about ideas, ways to arrange them that were unexpected.
Yeah, you talk about White Christmas, the very first track on the CD, and it's evident right away that there's something a little different to be found in this album. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like Adam is quoting the Whoville song at the very beginning.
True, you got it. what is it? Fa hu fores.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Da hu
dores. You are correct.
Okay, good to know.
There's a lot of little quotes all over the album. You know, they're really there's a lot of little tricks in there.
Yeah.
on many of the other tracks too.
Little musical Easter eggs, as it were.
Yes.
Talk about your group, Cortango. I saw a picture of you on the website down in the big opera house in Buenos Aires. And, of course, you know, that's sort of the home of tango.
Yes.
But tell us about how that group came to be.
Well, I was dancing Argentine tango, social dancing, training in that craft for a while. I was just always drawn to the music. I mean, it's very orchestral, the music that the dancers use. Each group from each orchestra, tango orchestra from the 40s, 50s, they all had their own sound. I mean, in a way, I could relate to that, like as each American orchestra has its own sound. I was drawn to different ones and became very interested in learning about the music, trying to be a scholar of it. And I'm now a DJ, a tango DJ. I can do any event with that, have a huge collection of the music. But I thought, oh, I wish I could play it. I just kept having this thought. I wish I could play it. I don't know why it didn't occur to me. Someone else had to say to me, a classmate in a dance class said, I don't understand. You're a musician. Why can't you play it? And it was that moment, aha, I had an aha moment. And I thought, well, of course I can. Of course I can. It will just be non-traditional. So all of the arrangements for my group are, of course, specifically made, you know, to include my instrument. And we started that way, Cortango, exclusively playing tango music. And then it just developed. I wanted to do the indigenous dance music of St. Louis. We added rags. Next thing I know, we were doing American ballads and Christmas tunes. And now I look at the group as, yes, our bread and butter. We will always treat our fans to a healthy offering of concert and dance tango. But I don't think that there's any limitation on what we could or would play if it interested us.
Well, the English horn, as you were saying, we don't really think of that necessarily as an indigenous tango-type instrument,
right.
But it works so well. And it maybe also affords you the ability to look beyond tango with that group because of the sound of the horn.
Sure, sure. I mean, anything like these Christmas tracks, in the ones with Cortango, the English horn is featured as a singer in kind of a more operatic way, as sort of the lead line. The intention was, you know, to make it that way for the album. Yes, it works. It works fine. Yeah.
And these are musicians from the symphony as well, your colleagues?
Yes. The string players, all of the string players who are in Cortango are my colleagues and my friends in the St. Louis Symphony. And of course, all the trombone players who perform on my recording are also my colleagues in the St. Louis Symphony. And there's a few others who are featured, the harpist, our harpist Allegra Lilly, piccolo player Ann Chumack, and principal percussionist quite prominently featured on the album, William James.
It's sort of a family affair, I guess you could say.
That's right. That's right.
Did you recruit all these folks to come play with you, or how did that work?
Yes, I asked them all, and of course it began with the plan to record with Cortango, and so my colleagues in that group were on board right away. I had to discuss it at length with the trombone players and explain what it was that I wanted to do, and they might have had a few question marks at first. Would this work? They were afraid that that we wouldn't be able to balance correctly with four trombones and the English horn. But in fact, it did work out quite right. And we didn't record those on stage at Powell Hall, where the St. Louis Symphony performs. We recorded those in studio. And other things, you know, I remember cornering my colleague Will James, who is prominently featured on Little Drummer Boy, on the snare drum. We were on tour in Spain, in Madrid, after a concert. And I thought, I think this is the right moment to go and ask him to play on my album. So I was always plotting and scheming, you know, for the last few years.
Now, you also have music here, a couple of tracks, I guess, with the Adamantis Trio.
Yes.
Which is a little more kind of smoky jazz hall kind of
right.
arrangement.
That's really, you know, they can just play all night like that in that style, and I have heard them, just incredible. There's nothing that group can't do. For those arrangements, of course, I'm not improvising. I'm playing a part that was written for me by Adamantis, and the gentlemen of the Adamantis Trio are doing their thing. It's completely improvised. So that was an interesting experience to mix that. And I thought, when we were recording, I was saying, you know, is it the right style? Is it the right style? They said, you know, don't change anything. It's just like your singer kind of singing the first verse of a standard, the way that they would do it in a club without excessive ornamentation or anything at first. So they thought that worked. Of course, you know, Adamantis takes the fantastic traditional piano jazz solos on both of those tracks, all improvised, of course.
But you've talked about the cor anglais, or the English horn, in terms of singing and the voice a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I hear it throughout this entire album, because you think of Christmas songs as something that is sung. And you're singing it with your instrument. Can you talk a little bit about what the sound of the instrument means for you and how it maybe even relates to the human voice?
Sure. I do think about the instrument as a strong tenor. I like to think of the English horn as a Heldon tenor, heroic tenor. And I'm always searching for that type of a sound when I'm playing in the orchestra or, you know, on my recordings. I want it to sound extremely resonant and not necessarily dark, but just to hear like a very complex tone is always what I'm looking for. I think that's the same way that an opera singer would be thinking, you know, in terms of projection and the quality of the sound. So it's completely related. And when I can find it, when I'm aspiring to that aesthetic, and when I can find it, I feel free. Yeah. Then I can play the lines as I want them to be.
Wonderful. You should release a Wagner album.
Okay, I'll think about that next.
Yeah. Although I think that you can certainly play more lyric tenors just as well, because you've got Comfort Ye from Messiah here on mm-hmm. the recording as well. That's
yes.
your own arrangement, right?
Yes, that's right. I mean, it's a simple adaptation, just done, you know, from the original score. I'm of course playing the tenor part, and then the string parts are just a little bit rewritten with the voice leading to work for my group. I love the lyrics, of course, from that wonderful psalm, and I'm thinking of them as I'm playing, trying to express the ideas that are behind that. In that case, the words are about forgiveness and peace. It's a nice message for the holiday season. So those words are coming from my heart, just trying to play them, you know, a song without words.
Are any of these pieces things that you sort of grew up with in your own family background, or that really speak to you about Christmas and
oh,
your
yes.
personal history?
Absolutely. In particular, right away, I think of Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming, which is a carol that I loved since I was a child and played on the oboe in church and even sang in the choir when I was young. When I decided to do this album, the very first song that I wrote down, Lo, How a Rose Ere Blooming, is definitely going to be on this. So that's one that's very, very precious and close to my heart. Comfort Ye is another one that I grew up with. I was in a very musical household, and we always had opera on and the Messiah on the radio and the albums at Christmas time. So that's another one. Over the years, I just was drawn to certain ones. I always loved that Vince Guaraldi, the Charlie Brown Christmas Time Is Here. You know, grew up watching that special every year.
Yeah.
So I had to include that too.
Yeah, and I like how the arrangement you have on here, we talked about it briefly, but it really speaks to the original Vince Guaraldi kind of sound.
Oh, good. Thank you.
To have that jazz trio. The album is called Core Christmas. I know it's available, you know, from all the usual suspects, but also at your website, which is, can you tell us your website?
Sure. It's calliebanham.com. You can find it there.
Great.
Yeah.
Callie Banham, thank you so much for talking with us here on FM 91.
Thank you, Brad.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.